Lot to talk about in the world of baseball. Yankees Old Timers Day. The Mets with a are making news for the wrong reasons. And to talk about all of this, we bring in Dave Lennon from Newsday, baseball columnist. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hey, Laurie, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm doing better than the Mets, I guess, tonight. But so we're mostly
not the first time you've ever said that to me, I think.
I think not. I know you're out at Yankee Stadium, and I do want to focus on the feel-good story of Old Timers Day, Mariano Rivera, all that kind of good stuff. But Tim Healy, the Mets beat reporter for Newsday, obviously made news, not what he wanted to do, on Sunday, got yelled at, got cursed at by Mickey Callaway, issues in the clubhouse, Jason Vargas. I know you wrote a story reporting on, you know, Tim's version of things or account of things for Newsday.
Right.
It'll hit tomorrow's paper, available online now. So I wanted to just know from a reporting standpoint, what is Tim Healy's version of this story?
Well, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, after the game, you know, Callaway had grown testy over questions which have become commonplace now after games regarding the bullpen and the use of Seth Lugo and the use of Edwin Diaz. So, you know, Tim noticed that you could kind of see him getting agitated during that news conference. And what Tim had said that, you know, after the reporters moved out of the manager's office and into kind of the main part of the clubhouse, which I'll describe, the Wrigley Field Visitors Clubhouse is tiny.
Right.
I mean, it's like cafeteria-sized clubhouse, not like the ones you see around Yankee Stadium or Mets if you happen to see those on TV. So, you know, the reporters were in that main section, and from what Tim's description said, that Mickey Callaway, you know, kind of came around the corner out of the office, and he was dressed. And Tim said to him, he thought he was, you know, going to the bus or whatever, and said, you know, see you tomorrow, Mickey. And Mickey replied, you know, don't be a smart bleep, you know. And then Tim was kind of taken aback by it because he didn't really mean anything by it. And when Mickey came back around, he kind of picked up where he left off and, you know, dropped a few expletives on him along that same way. And when Tim tried to kind of explain himself and say, hey, I didn't mean anything by it, you know, Mickey yelled over to the PR staff and said, you know, get this, you know, again, expletive lace so-and-so out of the clubhouse. And, you know, Tim was kind of shocked to describe it. He's like, he didn't know what kind of set him off. He was kind of trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And as he was standing there, I guess Vargas had, you know, he had got Vargas's attention, who was about 15 feet away. And Vargas was kind of staring at him, and Tim then kind of looked over and was like, hey, is everything all right? And that's when Vargas said, you know, I'll knock you out right here, and started like walking towards him. And that's when Ethan Wilson, a PR guy for the Mets, kind of stepped in just to kind of stop it, you know, just to kind of be in between them. And I guess a couple of players, Syndergaard and Gomez among them, Tim said, kind of interceded. You know, nobody was being like held back or anything, but you know, they kind of got in his way, so it never really, you know, boiled over in that sense. But yeah, I mean, it was something that you don't really see every day. I mean, this was something that obviously extreme frustration, and I think, in my opinion, I mean, certainly Callaway and Vargas kind of picking the wrong targets for it, I think.
Now, the report is also that there was an apology issued by the Mets to Tim Healy. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, pretty soon afterward, as I, you know, reported with Tim and getting his side of the story, that he said that Jeff Wilpon called him and said, hey, you know, on the behalf of the organization, you know, I want to apologize for what happened. And I want to assure you, you know, not to be uncomfortable going back into the clubhouse. There's no reason to be uncomfortable, and we're going to address the situation with the people in house and talk to all parties involved. And the team also put out a statement along those lines and said, you know, this is unacceptable behavior, and we just don't accept it with people within our employees within our organization. So, but, you know, they'll, you know, Brody Van Wagenen will be in Philly tomorrow. I don't think he was scheduled to be there, but he will be now. And, you know, you're going to see this addressed in great detail, you know, before what's a pretty, you know,
pretty big series,
series, you know, with the Phillies this week. So it's going to be a pretty, it's going to be a big issue down there tomorrow.
Yeah, Mets making news and not in a way that they wanted. All right, talking to, and if you want to read more about this account, then, as I mentioned, Dave wrote an article that will be in tomorrow's Newsday about the story, and I'm sure this will continue at least for 24 hours to be a story. All right, let's switch gears. I wanted to do a little bit on Yankees and Yankees Old Timers Day. So,
sure.
You know, and, you know, I came on the show and said, unfortunately for the Mets, you have these optics here and the contrast between the Mets and this happening, and you have the Yankees, even in a loss, winning the series against the Astros, and it's Old Timers Day. And the way things are handled, you know, the Yankees certainly don't, you know, every day isn't great, but, boy, the way they handle Old Timers Day certainly is, you know, classy and as good as it gets in Major League Baseball. So what was your highlight of Old Timers Day this year?
Well, I mean, that's pretty easy. I know for anybody who had seen the highlights of it or who was, you know, lucky enough to be there today, mm-hmm. it was certainly seeing Mariano Rivera make his Old Timers Day debut. And and not only did you get to see him pitch, you know, you got to see him hit an inside the park home run, which was kind of a, you know, a line drive. He kind of, you know, punched into the right center field gap. And
What was Jeff Nelson doing out there, by the way, in center field? It looked like he was just letting balls roll by and turning singles into doubles doubles into inside the park home run.
Yeah, he wasn't really taking a lot of great angles on
that.
But I think, you know, aside from the obvious with the inside the park home run, I thought one kind of interesting episode, I'm not sure how many people got to see this part of it, but when Luis Soho went up to bat
was great.
Against Rivera, and, you know, Paul Olden had said, hey, I was just talking with Soho, and he said he's going to hit a home run off of Mariano. And as soon as he got in the box, you could see, like, Rivera, like, went into his regular delivery. and like, he gunned a fastball, you know, like, inside on Soho, and Soho jumped way out of the box. You know, that was a strike, and Soho climbed back in, you know, stunned. And then Rivera did the same exact thing again and threw another hard fastball by him. And then the last time he kind of went into a windup and kind of floated one in that Soho hacked to shortstop. But it was fun. I mean,
I thought that was pretty great, too. And you could see that Luis Soho, his face, he looked stunned and scared getting in the box.
The blood just drained right out of his face after seeing that. So, I mean, you know, Rivera, you know, aside from being obviously, you know, the greatest closer ever and a Hall of Famer that's going to be inducted next month. Yeah, he's a guy that's really missed. You know, I mean, he was just a real fun guy to have around, a really good teammate, really fun to deal with. So, you know, you're reminded of those type of things when you see him come back on a day like today.
Yeah, I thought that obviously everything about Mariano and even his post game press conference and the you know, the way he talked about 19 years, the pride of the pinstripes, all of that. And then my other favorite moment was Don Larsen watching him stand up out of the wheelchair, you know, walk over with the walker. I admit it, I teared up. and then stand there and have the three perfectos, you know, David Wells, David Cone, and obviously Don Larsen standing there together.
Right.
You know, it's moments like that that and things like that, that the Yankees do well. All right, let's switch to the game. And they did play a game. They did lose a baseball game. They have been playing the Yankees awfully well. But Jay Happ, if you were Jay Happ or a family member of his, what would you be telling him right now about his spot in the Yankees rotation?
I mean, you're talking about a guy that has like a 5.5 ERA right now.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I mean, this was a guy that was supposed to be, you know, a major part of the rotation makeover this winter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his experience in the AL East, he can pitch in big games, you know, wasn't shied away from the spotlight. You know, he's been bad. You know, the Yankees have won, you know, a great deal of his starts, you know, not due to him.
Yeah.
You know, they've made up for his performance. And a lot of what we went into with the game with him afterwards, you know, he's given up a ton of home runs, you know, not too different than a lot of other pitchers in the league this year. That's just the way things are. And we try to talk to him, hey, you know, is the ball and the home run barrage around the league affecting you? And he's like, well, you know, I don't want to use that as an excuse, but which means he kind of is using it as an excuse. So, you know, he's got to find a way to pitch through that. I mean, Verlander has given up a ton of home runs, but, you know, he has a 3 ERA. And as we saw today, he can be pretty effective when he needs to be. So, I don't know. I mean, there's time for Hap to turn it around. You know, we're halfway through the season right now. Is this going to be a season-long thing with him? You know, maybe he goes through some adjustments. Maybe he makes some, you know, mechanical things and can kind of be a better pitcher. But for right now, you know, he's a real, real big concern and not a guy I would feel very confident. I'm not even going to talk about the playoffs at this point, but just another guy you're sending out every 5 days for the second half in games that you're, you know, expecting or hoping to win.
So, you know, with Hap certainly a question mark, and the Yankees are otherwise such a complete baseball team. And on days when Tanaka goes out there and looks good, you know, you look at this Yankee team and you just think, well, these guys are unbeatable. But, you know, if you're Cashman, as we approach the deadline, who would you have your eye on to go after in a trade?
I think the problem, and seeing Verlander today, you know, reminds you of what a difference maker he was when the Astros traded for him 2 years ago. So we're always asking ourselves, you know, who can be the Yankees' Verlander? You know, who can be that guy? And there's only one guy that could be that, and that's Max Scherzer. And I just don't see them getting him. You know, I don't think the Nationals are going to make him available, and I think that's the problem. I mean, as far as the money goes and stuff like that, I would think the Yankees would try to find a way to make it work. But I just don't think he's going to be available to them. And he's the one guy that I think could be the Verlander. The other guys, I mean, I guess the most obvious guy to get that you think can help you, I think, is Bumgarner. But I'm not really impressed with his work so far this year. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't think he's a quote-unquote Verlander guy for them at this point. I think another guy they have their eyes on that I think could be a possibility is Marcus Stroman. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, would have been fun if he came in and pitched against the Yankees tomorrow, but he pitched today against the Red Sox and pitched very well. So, I mean, he's a guy that has another year of control. So of all the guys out there, I think Stroman is a guy they're really going to probably target as a guy that can help them. Is he going to step in? He's not going to be a number one guy. I mean, Tanaka's going to have that role. And I think Paxton, when he's on, can be a number one guy. We've seen it. He can throw 97. You know, when he's locating the fastball, he can be a very effective and number one type starter. But I think beyond that, I think the signs point to Stroman unless some other guys become available.
Yeah, I think the fact that Stroman has more than just a rental, so if you give it up, you know, there's somebody to replace CC Sabathia in the rotation next year, all of that I think would have a lot of appeal for the Yankees. And then, of course, there's a guy named Severino out there hanging out that they're hoping will come back. Dave Lennon, always appreciate the time. Thanks so much. And a good story in Newsday. And we'll keep following you. Recommend that for everybody.
Great. Thanks for having me on, Laurie.